Okay, let's get into Sefer Shoftim, Perek Zion, as we continue the second Perek, the second part of the story of Gidon, the next Shofet. As we know, Bnei Yisrael were being subjugated by Midian, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gidon, you have to come help Gidon, who was nicknamed Yerubaal by his father. After all that he did, he went during the night and he cut down the Asherah tree. He built a Mizbeach to sacrifice the karbanos that they were saving for their Avodah Zarah on it, and he started gathering Am Yisrael. He asked for a couple of signs, as we saw in the last parak, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just to, you know, give him some chizuk to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, and he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be on his side, and in that way, he is now ready. So, what happens in this parak? Hashem says to Gidon, you have too many people, though, fighting with you. Too many people. He had, as we will see, 32,000 people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whittle it down. And he says, whoever did any averus has to leave. So 22,000 people left, and there were 10,000 people. And then Navi tells us that Hashem told Gidon, I have another test for you. Go down to the river and test them and see, tell them to take a drink. Whichever one of them kneels down to drink, they're going home. Whoever laps it up with their hands and does not kneel down, they're the ones that are going to fight with you. And as the Navi describes, 300 people, 300 men were the only ones that were left, and they were going to fight the Midian army of 135,000. 300 against 135,000, you don't get more than Robin, Mian, Miatim, and those ratios. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Gidon, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to win. So Gidon goes, and he is getting ready. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and you want one last message to show you, to prove to you that you are going to win, go next to the Midianite camp tonight and you'll get a sign. He goes there, the Navi describes, he goes with his servant Phura, and he goes and he overhears one Midianite telling the other one, I had a dream last night. I saw a loaf of bread flying through the sky, landing on one of the Midianite tents, and the whole tent collapses. And the other one says, you know what that means? That means Gidon and Am Yisrael are going to beat us. Gidon overhears that dream being interpreted, and he says, wow, it must be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really going to help me out. And that's what happened. Gidon goes back, gathers all of Am Yisrael, and tells them to take shofaros, and to take kadim, and he says, follow me, and they go, and they attack Midian, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them, and they drive them out, ending, the parak ending, with the two kings, Ze'ev and Orev, being caught and being killed by Gidon, so that they don't cause any future trouble for Am Yisrael. So that's the story of Gidon and the fight against Midian, and we will continue. Gidon, the story is not over. This is a three parak, even more. At least a three parak start of the Gidon story. Gidon really has, even though we saw earlier that some shoftim only get one pasuk, like Shamgar ben Anat, but other shoftim get a couple of prakim, and that's what Gidon gets. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of Perek Zion and Gidon getting ready to fight. Vayashkim Yerubaal hu Gidon. The Navi starts off Yerubaal. Now the name stuck. Yerubaal, which was Gidon, gets up. V'chalam asher ito v'yachno al ein charo. They in camp. U'macha Midyan hayalo mitzafon migivat ha-moreba emek. And the Midyan camp was there, and Am Yisrael were there. V'yomar Hashem al Gidon. Hashem says Rav ha'am asher itoch. Very unusual. There's all these Jews gathered. Hashem says, no, I want less. I want less. I want less. You have too many Jews. Why? What's the problem? So why can't you let the Jews? It's still 32,000 to 135,000. Still a ton. So what does the Navi explains? Pein yispa'er ala Yisrael lemar. Even if they're less, but if they have a lot, they'll think, yadi hoshi'ali. They'll think it was them. They'll forget it was me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I have to make it a major miracle, because at the stage that they're at now, and the state that they are in, they are not going to recognize that it's all for me, Yodi Hoshi'ali. So therefore, you have to make it even less and less. They're going to have too much gaiva. Too much gaiva. The Mishpat Zozav, interestingly here, quotes a number of Achronim, who mentioned, maybe this is different than, if we remember, in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, things didn't go exactly this way. And the Tai quotes from the Mincha Ketana, Yadua ki Barov Am Yarbe Zechusam. Usually, the more Jews there are together, Barov Am Hadras Melech, there's greater Zechuyos. V'chol Mashem Rabim Yigdal Zechusam Be'nei Hashem. So why here did he tell too many Jews? Why? V'zeo kasher asu asatov b'nei Hashem. That's only because if they're on the level of having zechuyos, if they merit, So then, obviously, Barov HaMahadras Melech. Az Chusam Talo L'Rasa L'Fnei Elokim L'Atzilam Mikol Tzaro Seyem. Masha'en Kein, if Chata Yisrael, if they're not on the level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just coming down and helping them out, and hopefully that will inspire them to become Baalei Tshuva, so then HaDavar Behifuch. Shekol Mashi Yisrabu V'Yizkapsu Yachad Shifti Yisrael Em Aveira Shebiyadam. Because if they're not doing well, the more Chotim there are together, the worse it is. That's why at this stage, Am Yisrael were still being subjugated, but they haven't done tshuva yet. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to have too many together, maybe that will increase Midas Hadin. But the specific reason given in the Navi is that we're going to have Gaiva, we're going to think it was all us, we think it was ours. Whenever we talk about Gaiva, it's good to remember the two sources related to Gaiva. Number one is the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Shoftim, in the context of a king. We know the king, three separate losases that apply to a king. A king is not allowed to have too many women, too much money, and too many horses. Three. And why can't he have so much? The Torah says, Levilti rum levavo me'achav. We don't want his heart to get uplifted. After all, we know the king has expansive and elastic powers. He's allowed to build highways through my backyard if it's good for the country. And it could go to his head. So that's why he needs these limitations. And the Ramban there says, Nirmaz Makan, what's the Ramban bothered by? We know humility is something that is a tremendous midah. Moshe was on of Mikal Adam, and Gaiva is terrible. But where in the Torah does it say, don't be a Baal Gaiva? Where? So Rav Chaim Vital, Talmud of the Arizal, already says, well, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to have midas tovos. Rav Chaim Vital says, because midas tovos are a prerequisite for all the other mitzvos. It's not a mitzvah because if I fulfill the whole Torah, but I have midos rovos, then all my Torah is warped. So it's not just a mitzvah to have midos tovos, it's a prerequisite for all other mitzvahs. Mashal amada v'domeh, the Bahag. The Baal Halachas Gdolos, not exactly the same, but the Bahag does not count belief in Hashem as a mitzvah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not one of the 613. What, the Bahag says you don't have to believe in Hashem? Of course not. Chas v'shalom. Of course you have to believe in Hashem. But he says it's not a mitzvah, it's before mitzvos. It's the prerequisite. You can't have a mitzvah without a mitzvah. You have to have a commander to have a command. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah. Making it into a mitzvah would be minimizing what it is. This isn't just a mitzvah. This is the basis of all mitzvos. So Rav Chaim Vital, in a different way, says the same thing when it comes to midos tovos. There's no mitzvah to be a Baal Chesed, to this, to that, specifically. There is a mitzvah. It might be included in the Halachta Midrachav. There is a mitzvah saseh to follow in God's ways. But specifically, in terms of midos, there aren't too many psukim specifically related to that. Besides Ava and Yira, but midos specifically, internally. The Ramban says, though, this is an allusion to one of them, at least. Levilti rum levavo me'achav nirmaz bekan batora iser hageyus. Right here by the king, it says, why does the king have these limitations? So he doesn't become a Baal Gaiva. Really? This is a good message for all Jews. Not just the king, says the Ramban. Ki akasev yimnas ha-melech megeus v'romemus ha-lev v'kol shekein ha-acherim she'edim ruyim l'kach. You might think a king can hold himself higher. He has something to be proud of. He's the king. And the king can have gaiva, so surely other Jews as well. Ki bara'ui lis romeim lis gadel yasirenu lios levavo shafel kachal echav haktanim imenu. Ki gaiva mida miguna v'nim eses. It's a disgusting mida. Eitzel ha'elohim afilu b'melech. Why? Because only Hashem is a gaiva. Ki l'Hashem levado ha'gdula v'aramitlecha Hashem ha'gdula v'agvura v'atiferes v'anesach v'yahod. Only if we take any of those, then we're taken away from God. The higher we hold ourselves, the less room there is for God. Toavas Hashem kol gvalev, says Shlomo in Mishlei. So that is number one. Number two is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, we mentioned in the past. The Rambam says, the famous Rambam, the Shvil Hazav. We should always try to go in the middle path, the mean. And in that way, we'll be able to live a balanced life. In all midos, we shouldn't be too miserly and we shouldn't give away all of our money. We shouldn't be too happy and always laughing. And we shouldn't be too sad and always crying. We always have to be in the middle, the balanced, except for two midos. Two midos, the Rambam describes, we have to go to the extremes. And they're connected to each other. And that is ka'as and gaiva. Anger and haughtiness. Those two go together, because if I'm Baal Kas, it's because I think I'm the center of the world and everything revolves around me, and that's why I get angry. So they go together. A person could be a Baal Gaiva and not always get angry, but they usually go together. The Rambam says those two, we have to go to the extremes. The extremes, no Kas, no Gaiva. We could feign it sometimes. We could fake it. But literally, to have it inside, no good. So that's two sources related to Gaiva, but that's what the Pasuk says here. Hashem felt at this time in history, B'nai Yisrael were too it was so probable that if we have so many warriors and army, we would take the credit ourselves and not give the credit to Hashem. Kochi v'otzim yadi aser liyasachayel hazeh. And therefore Hashem had to take it and make it into an open miracle. Good, so what happens? Vata, Hashem says to him, Krana bazne am lemar, call the people, mi yare v'charet. Whoever is fearful. What does fearful mean? Fearful because they have averus in their history. Yashov yitzpar mihagilah. They can leave. They can leave. Whoever has averus, they can leave. Vayashav and Am, who left? 22,000. And 10,000 were left. 22,000 were nervous. He doesn't say whoever sinned. He doesn't want to embarrass people. Just like in the Torah, right? We never say, we always give excuses. Whoever built a house and whoever planted a vineyard and didn't get to enjoy it, yeah, you could go home. So whoever sinned could go home during any of those times, so nobody's embarrassed. See here too. Whoever is scared could go home. It's not so embarrassing to be scared. So they could go home. The Malbim here says he was getting them ready. Hashem and Gidon were getting them ready in two ways. Says the Malbim, Shefa Elokis lo tachul rak el hamuchanim baharuuyim la. The great miracle that was about to take place is only chal on those who are ready for it. Upo hayatzarech beis dvarim. Number one, hachanat hagvura. Got to have inner bravery, number one. Number two, hachanat hakedusha. You have to have spiritual backing behind you. So you got to have both of those. So there was the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to get that, because this whole miracle was going to take place, he had to perfect who was going to be there, so he gets rid of those who had sinned. Vayomer Hashem al Gidon, and then Hashem says to Gidon, okay, you have 10,000, it's still too much. What should you do? Horedo sam el amayim ve'etzrafenu l'chasham. Go down to the water and I will purify. I will separate. Siruf is the method of purifying gold. You're taking off all the impurities of gold and I'm mitzaref. So here, the same lashon is used. Etzrafenu, I'm going to be mitzaref. I'm going to purify those who are going to fight. And in that way, you will be pure. And here's the test. Whoever I tell you that you're going to go with, you're going to go with, and if not, not. They all go down to the water. And Gidon didn't know anything yet. Gidon didn't know anything. He didn't tell them, he didn't know what to instruct them, what not. It's just, most of them bend down and start getting some water, from the water. And a few of them didn't go down on their knees. They just got water, they lapped it up, but they didn't go down on their knees. Hashem says, oh, if you went down on your knees, you're out. Why? Says the Mesudas Dov, it says the Radak, because it must be that you're used to bowing down to things, right? Not God, right? And that's why this is a siman, that in the past they were over the Avodah Zarah, and therefore they are out. Kol asher yalok bil shono min amayim, kasher yalok hal kelev, whoever lapped it up like a dog, tatzikos olavad, those are going to be good. V'chol asher yichra al birkav lishtos, those who bent down on their knees, so those will be out. Ask the Mefarshim, what do you mean? Two psukim ago, everybody who did an aveira has already left. So what do you mean? This is a siman that they were over the Avodah Zarah. The answer is, even if they did tshuva, even if they were Bali tshuva, and they weren't over the Avodah Zarah anymore, still, because in the past they have this stain on their record, for this nes that was going to occur, not even Bali tshuva in the form of Avodah Zarah. We have sometimes, not so often, but sometimes we have certain mitzvos that even if somebody just has a past, even if they did tshuva, right? If somebody's a Bali tshuva, generally they could do anything. Right, they could be a chazaras hashem. They could be a shliach tzibur, but there are certain mitzvos. Where else do we have this? Nesias kapayim, by duchening. There, according to some rishonim, certain averos in a kohen's past does not allow him to duchen, even if it wasn't his fault. You know, it wasn't his fault. Let's say it's he's killing in self defense. Anything, you know. But you have some of these, right? David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because he had blood on his hands. He had blood on his hands. Right there, he didn't even do anything wrong. So surely here, where they did something wrong and they did tshuva for it, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't want the nes to occur through their hands. So Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Hashem al Gidon, Bishlosh Meos HaIsha Malachi Kim Moshiachem. With these 300 men, I'm going to do the bring the salvation. That is it. And Rav Yeruchim writes in Parshas Kiseitze, because the root of any army in anywhere in the world, what do they think the root of success is? Training and pumping up and lifting weights and experience and strategies. That's true for Am Yisrael too, but that's not the root. That's not the root. Eilav arecha ve'eilav asusim banachlo b'shem Hashem elokino naskir. That's the root of what we believe and what we know is the secret of our success. There is a story that's told. Story that's told in many svarim of the maskilim, that in the 1800s, when they different story, whether it took place in the 1700s, 1800s, certain Jews that were making fun of the tradition. And they were making fun of this halacha that it says in Parsha Shoftim that if you have any averus, you have to get off the battlefield. So they put on a play. Put on a play, and on the play they said, okay, whoever did this avera has to leave, and this avera leave, and all of a sudden, the only two people left on the battlefield are these two old men with long white beards and canes. And that's the joke, and that's how they're going to win the war. It's silly, and different stories. I've heard versions. Who was left? The Shagas Aryeh was left, and the Lavush was left, or was it Rav Chaim, the Chafetz Chaim, and Rav Chaim Ozer were left? Different versions. But either way, that's where the story ends. But they say when Rav Chaim heard about the story, or the other greats heard about the story, in the one of the versions is when Rav Baruch Ber heard about the story, they said, it's exactly right. It's exactly what's going to happen. But they didn't do the last part of the story. Those two old men on the battlefield are going to win. Right? That's exactly the point. But this is the Maskilim didn't do the last scene. That's exactly what happens here. 300 men to 135,000. That's like two old men to. But he says that's what's going on here. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will take care of it. Vayhi balai lahu pasik tes. Vayomer lav Hashem. Hashem says, I want to give you a little more chizik. Go down to the camp and listen. And this is where he overhears the dream. He hears, and what is the dream that he overhears? Pasik yud gimel. Chalom chalamti. A double lashon of chalom. Some say that's how he knew it was a vade going to come true. Like Paro, you know, oh, you had it twice because, you know, it's definitely going to happen. So chalom chalamti, v'hinei tzlil lechem se'orim mitapech v'machane Midyan. There's a barley bread that's flying through the camp of Midyan, and it falls on the tent, and the tent turns over, and his friend says, oh, that's Gidon's going to beat us. What's a barley bread? So the Gemara says that it was Pesach. And this is an allusion to the Karban HaOmer that's brought on the second day of Pesach. Karban HaOmer. What's the message of the Karban HaOmer? And if we think it only happens once in history, there's another time. Many are familiar with the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, where Haman HaRasha, when Haman comes to see Mordechai, what was Mordechai giving shear in? Tez Zayin of an Olive. He was giving shear in the halachas of a Karban Mincha, a flower Karban, like the Karban HaOmer. What was the Ashkeche Diasvi Rabbanan Kamei Umachvilu Hilchas Kemitzel Rabbanan? And he sees, and all of a sudden, Haman's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to lose!" And he already has having premonitions. There's some power to the koach of a Karban Mincha, of a Karban Omer. The Musar HaNeviim writes, "What's the message of the Karban Omer? Karban Omer means Karban Omer is come out of barley, right? The grain and the wheat only becomes ripe later on, Shavuos time. But now it's barley. Barley is animal food. But Am Yisrael bring a carbon. Am Yisrael say, Maspik b'muat, this is enough for us. It's okay. We love you, Hashem. That's the message of the carbon of Omer. Even though I only have a little bit, I'll do everything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Jews, you only have a little bit of mitzvahs. You're only doing anything. I'll do it for you. It's okay. And that's the message of the dream of the Karban HaOmer. Again, there's more related to the Karban Mincha. There's a beautiful Meshach Chachma. We mentioned in other contexts in the Haftorah for Pash Shabbos Chazon that a Karban Mincha cannot be brought by partners. You can only bring a Karban Mincha. One person can bring a Karban Mincha, or all of Am Yisrael can bring a Karban Mincha. You can't have 10 people together to bring a Karban Beshutfis, because the Karban Mincha symbolizes Achtus also. It's another message of the Karban Mincha. So anyway, so they see the Karban Mincha flying, and that's the message, and Gidon says, okay, I am ready. Vayehi, Pasuk Tesvav, Kishmo, Gidon is Bisbar Chalom. When Gidon hears this, he says, let's go, we gotta go fight. He splits the camp up into three parts. He has 300 men, three groups. 100, 100, 100. What about the fourth side? What about the fourth side? So the Mefarshim explain that there's a halacha. The Rambam quotes halacha. You're not allowed to corner an enemy on all four sides. The Rambam says, "Kishetzaren ala ir latavsa ein makifin osam arba ruchoseha." Malachim vav zayin. Elamishalash ruchoseh. You got to leave the fourth one open for them to run away. Right? That's Am Yisrael. That's Am Yisrael's type of strategy. The Ramban even counts this as a separate mitzvah asei d'oraisa. This is one of the mitzvahs that he says the Rambam forgot. Mitzvah chamishis, shenitztavinu kishenatzur al ir lohaniach achas min aruchos b'li matzor. You have to leave one side open. Shem yirtzu levroach, because if they want to run away, you have to give them time to run away. So everybody holds with the halacha. Interesting machlokas. Rambam and the Ramban, whether you count it as a separate mitzvah. Says the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Matos. You know what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is? The Ramban says this is something above and beyond having rachamim on your enemy. Separate mitzvah. The Rambam says no, it's just part of the strategy. Why? Because we know from human nature, when somebody feels their back's to the wall, then they play harder. And they fight harder. So if you'd surround an enemy on all four sides, they're gonna fight their brains out. So, you know what? Leave a side open. So they always feel like they have a way out and they won't fight as hard. So that's just part of war, part of the strategy. That's not a separate mitzvah. So that's the Meshech Chachma, how he explains the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But either way, back to our story. So Gideon splits up the camp into three parts, 100, 100, 100, and he says, he takes in his hands a shofar and kadim rekim, empty bottles, velapidim, betocha kadim, and fire, and torches in the bottles that in the jugs that can't be seen. Shofaros, kadim, and lapidim. And he says to the people, mimeni tiru, v'chein tasu. Follow me, watch me, and do what I do. Interesting, Baal HaTurim in Parshas Truma says there's only two times in all of Tanakh where we have the phrase V'chein Ta'asu. Number one, there in Truma, Hashem says to Moshe, I'm showing you the Mishkan, I'm showing you how you're supposed to make the Kalim, V'chein Ta'asu, this is what you should do. So the Baal HaTurim there says, V'chein Ta'asu over there, and the V'chein Ta'asu over here by Gideon. What is the connection between this V'chein Ta'asu and that V'chein Ta'asu? So the Baal HaTurim, you got to work on exactly what the message is. He says, Zeschus Elu HaKelim Amad L'Gidon, the Zeschus of the Kelim of the Mishkan, that's what stood up for Gidon. Because he goes through, the shofar is connected this, and the kad is connected this, and the fire is connected the Mizbeach. Right, so all the different parallels. What is the connection between Dafka Gidon and the Mishkan? You got to think about that. But that's the Baal HaTurim. So what happens, Gidon comes, and he hakim hakimu as hashomrim. He goes and he in the middle of the night, and vayizku b'shofaros, he starts blowing shofar and he breaks the kadim and he says, start screaming and start running and take care and go. And that's what they do. It does not say they had a weapon. Unbelievable. It doesn't say it that they had any weapons. It says that they called cherev l'Hashem v'l'Gidon. They called out sword. Doesn't say they had any swords. That's also part of the nace. They were holding a jug and a shofar and a torch. That's what it says. It even says that they were holding the shofars in their right hand, the torches in their left hand, and then they started running. Why is that important? This is a very well-known comment. The Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah says that there's a remez to blow shofar out of the right side of your mouth. How do you know? I heard in the name of Rav Meir Simcha Cohen from Dvinsk that there's a pasuk by Gidon that says they held the shofars in their right hands. Why? And that's it. Meaning that our pasuk is a makar. Is a makar, is a remez. Why is that important? Because it could be the only time in all of the writings of the Chafetz Chaim that he quotes anybody from his lifetime. He never quotes anybody contemporary to him. Only this. And there's stories behind why he did that. They say there were a number of arguments that he got. The Meshech Chachma and the Chafetz Chaim got in with each other. The Meshech Chachma was more of the involved in the neighbor, in the community, and there were certain types of governmental edicts that he said are okay, and the Chafetz Chaim was against. They got into certain sichsuchim. So the Chafetz Chaim, they say, wanted to make sure that nobody thought it was personal, and he didn't take anything personally. So that's why he quotes from Meir Simcha one place. Here's the place. In the Bir Halacha, in Simin Tuf, Kuf, Pei, Hei. That's where he quotes it. So they blow, and Midian runs away, and they catch Orev and Ze'eva, and they're able to conquer Midian, and again, bring quiet to Am Yisrael, at least for a temporary amount of time. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll continue with the Gidon story next time when we get into Perek Ches.